Welcome to St. John's United Church of Christ.
We're a church which opens its arms to the leadership and participation of the LGBT plus community.
All are welcome here.
More than welcome here. This is home. We belong.
Let's pray. Decluttering God, show us the stuff that we truly need to keep. Amen. Has anyone here ever heard of Marie Kondo? Anybody? One person and me. She is this trim, young Japanese woman who helps people organize their stuff. So if you have a closet that you don't ever want anybody to see, Marie Kondo would help you sort that closet out and make it beautiful. And here's what she does. She would invite you to hold each item in your hands, whether it's grandma's salt and pepper shakers or your ugly Christmas sweater. And she would ask you, does this spark joy? And if you say, yes, I am attached to that, I really feel joy in having this, then you can keep it. But if it doesn't spark joy, then you thank the item and you give it away, or you sell it, or you throw it away. And in this time when we are all living in this consumer-driven culture where we're always told we need more stuff, it's really important to know how to say goodbye to some of it. There's a story about a box that was found in an attic somewhere in New England, and that box was labeled pieces of string too short to save. Guess what was in it? Pieces of string that were too short to save. But there they were. Now, Jesus would say, according to our reading this morning, sell it. Now, before you get concerned and run home and sell everything and give it all to the poor, let's talk about this a little bit, okay? This reading is connected to the reading from last week. There are more verses in between that we skipped in our reading, but it is still part of the same collection. And last week, if you remember, Jesus was not telling us so much what to do, but he was telling us how to be generous, to notice abundance, and to always practice gratitude. This reading is similar to that, in that Jesus is telling us how to be. Now, according to scholar Patricia Lull, in our reading today, Jesus is sharing ultimates or extremes. He is making statements that are exaggerated. So three of the ways that he exaggerates a little bit or uses an ultimate, according to Lull, is in these three ways. First, it's very difficult for his listeners to hear him say, sell your stuff. Because most of them have so very little, and they depend on that stuff for their life. It would have been equally difficult for them to hear when Jesus said, don't go to sleep anymore. You need to stay alert. Some translations say, stay awake. No more sleeping, because you have to be ready, because the master may need you at any moment. No one can stay awake all night, at least not for long. And then finally, Jesus suggests that if you can do all of that, when the master arrives, even if it's in the middle of the night, the master will serve you. That's too much. That was too much for people to hear. Now, I think that when Jesus uses exaggeration like that, when he teaches us in ultimates, I think he's trying to jar our thinking. He's trying to get us to shift our perspective. He's trying to wake us up from our slumber, the way we always thought it was. He's saying, no, I want you to think about this a little bit differently. And we don't take these words literally. Even people who teach that the Bible should be studied literally won't take verses like these literally. So we need to ask ourselves, what is it that Jesus is trying to tell us? Now, when I read the text the first time, I saw a couple of problems right away. One is, that Jesus doesn't tell us to sell all our possessions, and he doesn't say sell some of your possessions. He just says sell. So how much is enough? How much do we sell? What do we keep? And then the second problem is that if we sell it all and we give it all to the poor, we become poor. And now we can no longer help anyone else. Now, I thought that was a problem until this morning when I realized that Jesus is teaching detachment, which is actually a Buddhist principle if you look it up. But this is detachment to our possessions. It is okay to have possessions as long as we are not attached to them in an unhealthy way. So we're going to unpack that a little bit more this morning. But let's start with the first thing Jesus said in our reading today. Do not fear. We find be not afraid, don't be afraid, do not fear over 100 times in the Bible. Because fear is a great motivator for people. Fear motivates us more often than we realize. If we're in a relationship or a friendship that is not healthy, we will stay in it because we fear hurting the other person's feelings, or we fear what other people will think about us if we break that connection, or we fear being a bad person. If we're in a job that we hate and it's just not working out, we will stay in it because we fear giving up that weekly paycheck, or we fear taking a risk on ourselves, or we fear what other people will think if we walk away from a wonderful job and potentially live out of our car. We're always afraid. And those fears can motivate us. So Jesus starts with do not fear, and then he says all this stuff that probably scared everybody. I think there's a lot of humor in what Jesus shares with us, but we're so busy putting on our religious glasses that we miss it. Now, we have a period in our history when we understood fear like Jesus's followers did. Now, if you remember, they were living in a time when the Roman government had overtaken Jerusalem. And all the time, there were crucifixions happening within sight. So you knew what would happen to you if you didn't do what you were supposed to do. You were kept in line by fear. And taxation was exorbitant. People could barely make ends meet. And the time in our history when we can identify a little bit with that kind of fear, the fear for survival, was during a time that maybe you've heard of it. It's called the Great Depression. Some of us were actually alive during that time, and some of us have parents and grandparents that lived during the Depression. And during that time, holding on to what you have meant safety. And in many instances, it meant survival. You didn't know if the Depression was going to end ever. You didn't know if it was going to get worse. So if your shoes had a hole in them, what did you do? You put cardboard in the sole. If you tore a hole in your clothing, someone mended it. You didn't throw anything away and go buy something new. You had no money to buy anything new, and there was nothing on the shelves. We had a little taste of that during the pandemic when we went to buy toilet paper. Does anybody remember that in 2020? I actually took a picture at Walmart with the shelves completely bare. The whole aisle of toilet paper was gone. Now, what happened if you found toilet paper for sale somewhere? Didn't you fill your shopping cart? You hoarded the toilet paper because you had to have it, and you did not know if you would find it again. Now, that's why there's a box somewhere in an attic in New England that says, pieces of string too short to save. You don't need it today, but what if you need it tomorrow? So you're going to hold on to it, whether it makes sense or not. But during the Depression, we learned to reuse, to recycle our stuff. Fear motivates us to cling to our possessions. Now today, when we have excessive fear and excessive clinging, we call that hoarding. Maybe you've seen shows on TV that feature hoarders, and the camera takes us through the rabbit trails in their homes where stuff is piled from the floor to the ceiling. Now that's an extreme, but since Jesus is talking in extremes this morning, I think it fits. But let's keep it in perspective. If you have a lot of stuff, you are probably not a hoarder. If you collect things, you're probably not a hoarder. Hoarding is actually a natural activity. Animals do it. Crows look for shiny objects and save them. Monkeys, kangaroo rats, honeybees, and people, we all hoard, but we are hoarding because the winter may be extremely long, the weather may be bad, there may be a famine, and so we're setting some aside for later. That's not motivated by fear as much as it is by good planning. So hoarding is a natural thing. Jesus, however, is talking about when fear helps you make your decisions. Fear determines what possessions you keep and which ones you give away. And then he goes on to say, make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven. Now we've got to pause there because I want to remind you of something else Jesus said, that the kingdom of heaven is in you. It's within you. It's in your heart. Jesus is not talking about a faraway place that you might get to if you're good. He's not talking about a place where we often read there are mansions and streets of gold. He is talking about the treasure of your heart, the treasure of your life. And he says to store up treasure there. So the question then is, what is your treasure? Now, as you think about that, I want to give you two examples. And they're one is very wonderful and heartwarming, and the other's a little extreme. I spoke with Daryl this week, and we talked about what is your treasure. And Daryl mentioned Nancy and how easy it was, how apparent her treasure was in her life. You could see it easily. Nancy valued God, family, church, and teaching children to read. Those four things, those were her treasure. Now, she also collected angels. And I can imagine Marie Kondo going over to Daryl's home and having Nancy hold an angel in her hand and say, does this spark joy? And she would say, yes, it does. I like my little angel collection. So she can keep those. But that wasn't her treasure. Her treasure was inside. God and church and family and teaching children. Those were the things that mattered to her. What is your treasure? Keep thinking about that. And let me give you another example. Homer and Langley Collyard were brothers that grew up in the early 1900s in New York City. Their family was fairly well off. Both the boys were college educated. They had successful careers. They were Sunday school teachers. Their parents passed away. They inherited the brownstone house on Fifth Avenue in Harlem. And Homer had a stroke, which took his eyesight. So he and Langley lived together in the home. Langley took care of his brother. And as the years went by, they began to stay in their home more and more. And they began to accumulate stuff, possessions in their house that they thought were important to them. And in 1947, a neighbor called the police and asked for a well check on the brothers. And the police found both of the men were dead inside the house. Now, they also found floor-to-ceiling stacks of stuff, several grand pianos, thousands of books, a collection of pinup posters, bundles of newspapers that were stacked from the floor to the ceiling. And they found literally tons of stuff inside the house. What they also found was that the brothers had booby-trapped the hallways to make sure people couldn't come in, or if anybody tried to come in the house, they would be trapped, and that is how Langley died. He was caught by one of his own traps. That is what happens when fear motivates us to hoard our possessions. Now, in 2013, I think, hoarding was actually listed as a mental disorder. And before that, it was called Collier's syndrome, after these two brothers. Now, compare these. Nancy's treasure was intangible and life-giving. The Collier brothers' treasures were tangible and life-destroying. So what is your treasure? Jesus is asking us to figure that out. What is your treasure and where is it? Where is your heart? Now, to help us, we have people like Marie Kondo, who comes into a home and gives thanks to the house. She greets the house and she gives thanks. And she used to look for things to throw away. But she said that caused her so much anxiety that she now realizes she needs to look for things to keep. So now she asks, what gives joy? Keep the things that give joy. God wants us to have joyful lives, but everything else is there for a reason that's not as good. Maybe it's motivated by fear. Maybe for status. Who knows? You have to examine your hearts. I have a couple of closets I wish Marie Kondo would come over and help me with. But for the most part, I'm too embarrassed to let anybody see those closets. We just keep the door closed. Now, I know by now you're probably thinking of your stuff. And Jesus' main point here is to not be attached to our stuff. To be ready at every moment to share what we have, to sell our stuff, to give the money to the poor. Or maybe there's something you have at home right now that you could sell or give away. So today, I'm inviting you to go home and don't look at your whole house. Don't look at your whole garage. Just pick one thing. Find one thing in your house and hold it in your hand and ask, does this spark joy? And if it doesn't, let's do what Jesus said and let's sell it and give the money to the poor. Let's go in peace. Our service has ended. Thank you all for being here.